I find that I'm a person who
Well, hello everyone and welcome. Last week there were the matter of the council elections, the local elections here in the UK. And I want to focus today on the performance of Restore Britain, who ran only in one locality. That was Great Yarmouth. That's Rupert Lowe's seat. And, well, the big story is that every single seat they contested, they smashed and won in a huge way. And when I say in a huge way, they were on something like 60% plus versus Reform, who were in second place in almost all of these seats, who were smashed down into like 15%, 20%, things like that. So I'm going to talk about this today. Now, I've been holding off trying to comment on Restore Britain. They've had a few kind of controversies of late. And I didn't really want to say anything because I don't want to influence events as an independent commentator. I don't want to feel like, you know, this something I have done has affected what's actually happening. So that is why I've been kind of holding my peace here. But these results for Restore are incredibly interesting, to say the least. And from my point of view, they're as a kind of data point, you know, from a political science point of view, they're also interesting because they bear out something that I've been saying for a long time, which is that right-wing triangulation does not exist, i.e., the mythical centre. It actually is a made-up Westminster bubble type concept, and that you could in fact run, you know, to the right and sweep up, you know, most people given a choice between cotton and silk will go for silk, right? If they believe that Reform are fake, they'll go for the real deal. And that is what Restore had to do in this seat. And now they've emphatically proven that with actual data. Well, anyway, I'm going to get into all of that and more after these small words, which remind you that it's spring, it's May. That means it's the academic agency spring sale. The promo code is COOL. Buy a course today, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody wants to be cool. Like this guy. This guy is cool. Do you know who else is cool? People who do courses at the academic agency. And you too can be cool by getting a course today with promo code COOL, which gets you 25% off all courses. Today. Promo code COOL. Yeah, if you want to be cool, buy a course. Now, okay, so Restore. Let's just start. I know sports ball, football is not that popular in political circles, but I think that there are elements in football worth studying, not only from a human psychological point of view, but also from a political point of view. One of the great football managers of all time is Jose Mourinho, you know, the special one. One of the things that he used to do when he'd come into a new club is that he would make sure to focus his efforts on a lesser competition, the League Cup, right? Nobody cares about the League Cup, really. But Jose would make a hat, would be like, right, I want to win that League Cup so that the team gets into the, they know what victory feels like. The team, right, people start seeing us as winners. We've got a victory. Okay, it's in this smaller competition, but now it's still, you know, it's silverware. Psychologically, this can go on to build bigger wins. He also did it with at other times with something called Europa League, which is the second competition. And you know, over in Spain, he did the same thing when he went to Real Madrid, and he did the same thing with Inter in Italy as well. You know, it's important to win these lesser competitions. And what Restore have done, and whether it's because of Rupert's experience in the world of football or not, I don't know, but they've basically done something very smart. They were like, well, look, rather than field candidates in every single seat when we're not ready to do that, let's focus on the one area where we know we're strong, Great Yarmouth, we already have, and let's prove that it can be done, right, in these test cases. So you could almost say it's in the greatest English tradition of empiricism. Empiricism, they are building data. They are showing it can be done. And psychologically, this is the Mourinho point, it's allowing all the fans, all the supporters, all the members of the team, right? It's giving them a taste of victory so they know what it feels like. We are winners, okay? We have got a track record of winning. Whereas, if they fielded everywhere and got smashed, that would have been demoralizing, okay? And, you know, I kept on talking about infrastructure as a core concern. On this, they've been extremely smart. They've played it in a brilliant way. They get to own the narrative of upwards momentum. They expand Rupert's power base. You know, I mean, football analogies are one thing. Video game analogies, you're starting in Crusader Kings. I always start in a little Welsh county. Well, you know, Rupert, if you think of him as a feudal lord, he's starting in one little seat, Great Yarmouth, and he's building up his power in this one base, and now he's going to look to expand outwards. That's the plan. If they had not been able to win in Great Yarmouth, then the project would have been a write-off. But they didn't just win, they emphatically won, which therefore proves, now it's proved it in a particularly right-leaning seat, obviously, and they already know Rupert, but it's proven that Matt Goodwin, in his analysis, where, you know, oh, it knocks at the door, people are going to be scared off and so on, was all nonsense. And the stuff that I've said about how the right does not need to triangulate to the center, does not need to triangulate to the left, that point now has data attached to it, real data. And that, in fact, there's more data you could attach to it if you look historically. All sorts of different elections in history have shown this, right back to Enoch Powell and even before that. The Tories won a few seats with slogans that you couldn't repeat today, you know, if you want to something for a neighbor, vote Labour, right? That story is repeated as a example of Tory racism, right, by the left. What is not talked about is that they won that seat quite handsomely using that slogan. Okay, now I'm not saying that Restore need to go all the way to something like that, okay? Among other things, it would probably be against the law in this day and age to run that campaign. But what I'm talking about is the principle of needing to tack to the centre is actually just a liberal delusion, a Westminster delusion. And Restore now have shown this with data. So that's the big number one takeaway from this. It was a huge result for them, and it was the correct strategy. Right, there's been an awful lot of talk and criticism of Restore's communications and their strategy and so on. Quite a lot of negative activity online as regards these things. I'll talk about a little bit about that in a second. But the bottom line is this is a big win for them, and they did the right thing and they executed it perfectly. Okay, and they're building momentum and the right mentality to go on to then expand this further. And it shows that they're treating it seriously, not as some sort of media hype exercise or, you know, that shows that they were thinking properly and strategically. The fact that they were like, well, we're not ready to do this yet. We're going to concentrate on these 10 seats. We're going to smash it. We're going to hit out the park in just these 10 seats here. And that's it. That was good. That was one of the better things Restore have done. Now, let's talk about some of the negativity around Restore. And one of the reasons that I've tried not to comment on this is that, you know, my whole, like, ideally, to be a positive influence in the world, you want to bring increase to the people around you. You want to try to bring them up, not tear them down. And, you know, I know some of the people in Restore. I know, you know, I've met them in real life. I don't want to be a destructive force or try to knock the knees out of this thing before it's even up off the ground. Okay. and there's too much of that in general. That said, you know, in the interest of value-free analysis, there are some rumblings in the base, let's just say, of two things in particular that people are upset about. The first thing is that the presence of Montgomery Toms, you know, who's been hanging around, you know, there's mutterings that Montgomery Toms is an attaché to these people called the Mappins, who are Scientologists or something. And people are wary about this. There's rumbling. Who is this guy? He feels like a slop merchant. We're not happy about this. Is this the Tomification of Restore? Is it the slop, you know, the in slopification of Restore? Why is this slop merchant hanging around? You know, who was responsible for this? Was it Rupert? Was it this guy Alistair is in charge of the comms? Right, there's a lot of this sort of talk around. I was out and about, you know, meeting some friends on Friday, which is rare for me. I was lured out through using, Simon Roberts used various clandestine methods to get me out of my hermitage. And, you know, I met some people who, broadly speaking, would be friendly to Restore. But these are the sorts of mutterings that were doing the rounds. This is what seems to be coming through Twitter. And, you know, I wouldn't say that the Montgomery Tom element is enough to turn people off. And they're saying that there are rumblings. You know, I mentioned Jose Mourinho as one interesting person to think of in terms of goal psychology, success psychology, how to build a winning team. But to me, the grandmaster in English football certainly is not Mourinho, who went on to other leagues and so on, but was Sir Alex Ferguson, who you know, built a dynasty and not only one great team, but four, five great teams over the period of 20, 30 years. You know, probably never to be repeated at this point. So Sir Alex Ferguson is somebody who you really can learn from. Not just in football terms, but in life in general. His autobiography is actually a great book if you're interested in, you know, what it takes to be a winner, okay? And one of the really interesting things in the Alex Ferguson autobiography, which I read years ago, is that when he was scouting a player, he didn't just want to know about their skills on the pitch. He would send the scout to just going to ask around town, what's this guy like then? You know, what's his family like? Because what Alex Ferguson wanted to know about was about the character of the player. And there were all sorts of players he could have signed at different points for Manchester United who were world-class, who had a global reputation. And once he scouted them out, he was like, I don't want them in the team. I'd rather have John O'Shea there or Nicky Butt or one of these other sorts of players who I trust as a character, who have grit and determination, who, you know, are decent members of the community, who are family men, Paul Scholes, somebody like this, okay? Rather than some of these players who, you know, they may have all the fancy tricks and so on, but they're not good people, something like this. So this was very important for Alex Ferguson, character, the strength of character. And if I was to say there's been a problem on the right in recent years, it is the willingness of people to overlook character. This was the problem with Boris Johnson. We knew that he was a liar and a cheat, okay, and somebody who, and a womanizer, and a serial womanizer and a serial cheat. We knew this about Boris Johnson, and yet the right was willing to overlook all of that because they were so desperate for a win. Same is true of Nigel Farage, character. And if you remember, my original endorsements for Rupert Lowe were not about this policy or that policy. It was about character. It was about something I see in Rupert that I don't see in Nigel. Authenticity, character. And I think that this is the reason that Montgomery Toms is kind of giving people the wrong vibes. You know, was he scouted to that level? Is he a trusted person? And I mean, it's possible that he is. It's possible that Rupert did all of that and, you know, he's a trusted fellow. But that is not, like, I get the vibe that a lot of people don't trust him for this reason or that reason, whatever it is. His vibe is sloppiness, is slop, kind of merchantry. Now, that could change. Maybe Montgomery Toms will come good. I don't know. But you understand the point that I'm making. And that's the first thing that is kind of taking a tiny bit of the gloss off the big victory that Restore have got here. Second thing that I'll mention is that there's been this woman who was invited, young woman who was invited to give a talk. And because she had a tweet saying, that the Restore team was kind of British and white and this and that, good white British patriots or whatever she said, she's been disinvited from giving a talk at some youth event. And this, I would say, has had quite a big ripple. Okay, it's been used by Reform supporters such as Jack Hadders to attack Restore for obvious reasons, because their whole attack line is that Rupert is just exactly the same as Reform, or even worse, a Tory, right? That's their attack line. This is grist to that mill. And of course, there's a lot of critical voices online, on Twitter especially. There's this guy called Wolf. There's buddies of mine who are always very quick with and spiteful to say, yeah, I told you so, right? There are all those kind of voices. And as I've said in recent videos, I don't really like that energy. I think that we should try to be bringing each other up, not tearing each other down, and not always being like, haha, told you so, okay? It's just kind of wrong energy, okay? Because what we want is for the best for this country. That's what all of us want, is for the best for this country. And Restore is a shot at that. Now, the person who's been blamed mostly for this decision is this middle guy, Alistair, right, I'm told, who is in control of Rupert's account, and by all accounts is a kind of boomer blockage in the Restore archery. Okay. Now the thing is, right, let's be value free here. I don't know how involved he was in the Great Yarmouth victory versus the lads. I saw the lads on the ground. I saw them campaigning. I saw them, you know, opening the champagne in victory. They seem to have put the donkey work in. By the lads, I mean Charlie, I mean Lewis, I mean Harrison. I saw them there. Maybe that Alistair was there too. I don't know what he looks like. I've never met him. Okay. But a lot of people are calling for his head, right? I've seen online a lot of people are calling for his head over this decision. What went on there? People want clarity and so on and so forth. Here's the thing. It is literally against British law to discriminate on the grounds of race. And maybe it wasn't Rupert or Alistair or anybody else. It was possibly somebody from legal said, this is going to be a problem because we've used the W word. You know, it's going to make it sound like Restore is all about just the white people. And that's going to be a problem with Electoral Commission, the law, et cetera, et cetera. I don't make the rules, okay? Just like in football, 3 points is a win, okay? You can't act like 4 points is a win or 2 points, right? It's 3 points and that's the rules. Or if you go in two-footed, you're going to get red carded, okay? Or whatever. If you're last man back, you'll get a red card. No matter arguing about it, it's going to change that. This is one of those things where we have to be a bit more mature and think, well, why has this happened? Has this happened because they really don't want this girl talking there? Has this happened because they're cucks, et cetera, et cetera? Or has it happened because it's literally against the law? And this is one of those things, right? That law, as long as it's the law, is going to be the law until it's changed. You're not going to be able to change that law, okay? Let's say we all think it's a bad law, okay? You're not going to be able to change that law until you're in power. This is the old Tony Blair line. This is the what Blair's whole thing is. Unless you're in power, you can't do stuff to change things in the direction you want. And until you're in power, you have to kind of walk the walk and talk the talk according to the rules as they stand. That's what Tony Blair did. That's how he got so many huge victories. So I think that it's a little bit playing into the enemy's hands to make too much of a big deal over this, you know, cancellation. Right. I think that if you're going to speak at a Restore event, you have to be aware that because they're a proper party now, they're going to have to play by the rules. Okay. Now, the challenge for Restore is how are they going to balance playing by the rules and becoming just another Reform? That's going to be the challenge. How can they maintain the authentic vanguard and core and direction of what we want to do as against the iron law of oligarchy and simply becoming what Reform have become? That's the challenge going forward. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's a challenge. But along the way, you're going to have to box clever. Okay? Going back to Mourinho and Ferguson, sometimes you have to win ugly. Sometimes it's a dire 1-0 away, okay, on a cold and rainy night where nobody wants to be there. But you still got the 3 points. So this is those two different things, where we want to be and how to get there, have to be balanced all the time. And I feel like the time has come for people online and everywhere else to kind of get this and show a bit of maturity. Everybody, you don't need to panic all the time or be so emotional and kind of like feminine. Let's try to bring the emotion back and not flap out every little thing that goes wrong. Okay, that's just my takeaway from this to everybody concerned, because I know people wait to see what I have to say. They want to, I've been trying to hold back and see what happens a little bit. And look, it was a really good result. So we have to encourage that. And we have to try to steer through some of these thorny things. What I would say, and I'm not blaming the young girl herself or anything else, is that if you're going to be involved in any kind of official capacity, then you're going to really have to watch what you say. Not because the party is full of cucks, but because the rules, as they stand right now, have to abide by the 2010 Equality Act. So you don't know if some decision seems off-brand, you can kind of be sure that it's probably not coming from Charlie or even this Alistair guy or even from Rupert. It's probably coming from legal, and he's going to have legal counsel because he's an actual party. So yeah, that's why using words like white explicitly are going to be a no-go until as long as those rules are on the books. Now it could be that they pledge down the line, if we get into power, we're going to abolish the Equality Act. Ideally, Reform should be saying that as well. When I asked Danny Kruger directly, are you going to get rid of that? He said, yeah, that's what we want to do. So, I mean, that should be a goal whoever you're voting for. That should become a consensus on the right that the 2010 Equality Act needs to go, because it's a massive barrier to doing anything you want to do as things stand. All right, I think that's enough on this. I honestly, I didn't want the negativity to bring down the positive thing, which is that this builds momentum. It shows that it's possible. What is it showing? Let's get back to the core thesis here. It shows you don't need to moderate to the center. It shows that Reform aren't as strong as they appear. It shows that if you flank to the right with a genuine authentic message, it can cut through, and it can't just win, it can emphatically win, and it can beat the fake control opposition. That's the thing it shows. Can it be repeated nationwide? Well, that's a much bigger question. I noticed that they campaigned very much on local issues. That was the correct campaign for Great Yarmouth. These were council elections. If it's you have to win the game in front of you. So if it's local issues, it's bins, it's potholes. It's who's going to fix this bit of tarmac? It's local stuff as well as the big ticket national items. And so that was the correct way to campaign. And it's a good model to then follow, because this is one of those things the Tories do very well. Do you remember when I looked at that? Alicia Kearns, right, who's a horrible SJW, probably connected to the 77th Brigade through her husband. I made a video on her, her local campaign, where she was all about the traditional pie and helping farmers and jolly hockey sticks, okay? Great NIMBY campaign that she ran to get herself re-elected. And then when she's in Parliament, she's all about, woke stuff and Ukraine war and, all of the usual rubbish. And remember I made that video and she made me take it down? One of the few videos I've ever been forced to take down here. Not on on like copyright grounds. That was the workaround they got. Like, I used some image and they made me take it down. So Alicia Kearns, the kind of ruthless Westminster creature that she is, but she runs a good local campaign. So that's what I'm saying is, for Restore, this is quite a good model to really do well on the local stuff, to do localism well, because this is a good route not only into council seats but also into Westminster, because the Tories have done that for decades. So it's a good model to follow, and generally speaking, it's very good news, isn't it? It's very good news. Now I'm going to talk a little bit more about Keir Starmer, the current knives being sharpened for him. Don't think he's going to go anywhere. Spoilers, people. I told you he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to dig in. We'll talk about that and reforms gains on tomorrow's video. Today, I wanted to focus on Restore. And let me know what you think. All right. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency. It's promo code COOL. And I'll catch you next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.